Okay, welcome everybody to my session about how to use the pattern and practices assets in a real world use case. My name is Thomas Goebbels. I'm head of Modern Workplace Solutions. Basically, I'm a team lead at Sorgon, the company in Graz in Austria, focusing only on SharePoint and Skype for Business. As it is a SharePoint Saturday, something of my private life, I'm co-organizing this same event in Vienna in November later this year for the first time. I'm the founder of the meetup group in Graz for Office 365, so some community engagement, some basic private stuff. I'm quite nervous because my hometown club is playing in this moment and is behind 2-0, so maybe I have to check in the session. And of course, a big fan of SharePoint. As I already said, I'm also organizing those events. So again, I know you've seen this slide like 100 times today, but sponsors are very important about the money of them. Basically, such event couldn't take place. So please go around, visit them, and make them happy. The idea of today's talk is getting the idea out of why you should use the pattern and practices guide and what you can take out of it. The idea behind this is that maybe some of you are sitting alone in the office or alone in a project, and why should you need to force or to invent everything by yourself? Wouldn't it be nice if you had a team? You can ask, you can get answers, you can get proposals for technical questions, and basically that is what the SharePoint Pattern Practices Guide is. It's learning from the community for the community. And one of the main heads, we will introduce him later, his one famous quote, sharing is caring. I think there are actually now 400 guys committing to the GitHub repository, so it's quite a huge crowd. And sharing is caring is really the main idea all behind it. Some basics up front. The SharePoint Pattern and Practices Guide was introduced 2013 back internally in Microsoft, started by 13 guys only working for Microsoft Services at the time, and they all had the same problem, the conversion, the transformation of on-premises solution, WSP, to the modern development stack, to add-in models and all the cloud stuff, and they had the idea to go public with their knowledge. And they started an open source community, started on Codeplex, and around about a year ago, start of the last fiscal year, SharePoint team got the ownership of this initiative. Vesa Juvonen is in charge inside of Microsoft. He's a senior program manager for SharePoint and OneDrive, and he is the main guy internally in Microsoft behind all those things. And this thing is really large by now. As you see, this happens, the numbers from the last 2 weeks in April. So the visits on GitHub, the visits on the pages, and it's used, the tools and the libraries are used by now nearly 5,000 tenants. So 5,000 customers using it live because they have a tool inside the PMP where you can say, okay, I'm interested to send home some statistics. And the number, we believe the number is actually larger because some guys say, okay, I don't want to send something home. And we don't get all the questions from some guys that are using on premises because they're internally, but this is only the number that shows up in the statistics. I tried to, but I don't know what the actual number is. For me, it looks like some max integer, somewhat. So a really, really a large number of HTTP requests and basically used all over the world in the cloud and on premises. Those are the main guys behind the PMP core team. They have here 12 people. Vesa is the head of, is the team lead basically. And you have four guys, Erwin, Paolo, Waldeck, and Radi. They're coming from the community. They're all MVPs and SharePoint masters. And all the others are basically within SharePoint engineering. I think Bert is a premier field engineer sitting in Belgium. And all the other guys are sitting in Redmond. And Vesa is one of the coolest, not only because he is from Finland. So how can you use it in terms of training? We internally use all the tutorials that are published on YouTube, so you can go. Everything they publish will stay out in the open, is on GitHub or is in YouTube, and this is one of the main resources for us internally in terms of training. Because if you want to know SharePoint Framework from the guys that wrote SharePoint Framework, you go there, because SharePoint Engineering, Wes's team, was in charge for SharePoint Framework. So he and his colleagues are doing these demos and these trainings firsthand. They started like half a year ago already. And offer more and more training online. Also, they are in charge for all the documentation happening on MSDN. You see like the faces, and so the real guys developing the stuff are also in charge for the documentation that levels up documentation to a new quality. Not like it was like 5 or 6 years ago, where you say, okay, it's the documentation, and basically it's 2 years old. This is real fresh stuff. But from March actually it is. And this is just one screenshot of the page with the listening of all the different trainings they're providing. And the main idea behind, or the first main idea behind the Python Practices Guide was to give you an idea and trainings on how to transform on-premises solutions to the add-in model. You can think of it like the internal team or the internal guidance of how to move to the cloud. They use it internally in Microsoft Services, and then they had the idea to go public with it. I just had all the links in the slide, so you can afterwards just go through the links in this deck. You have a welcome page, you have an own MSDN page, you have videos, you have a documentation site, and then you have the different components and different core functions of the PMP. Starting with Sites Core, that's everything with provisioning engineering. We will have a demo of this later on. We have our own room only focusing on JavaScript, JavaScript for the cloud, JavaScript for on-premises. An own room doing just PowerShell commands. There are near to 200 additional commands for SharePoint PowerShell online and on-premises. There is a partner pack. It's basically a starter kit for internet solution. You can see how JavaScript engineering and the guys in the team think of how you should use the technology. Many guidance and many tools, and always up to date. With the release of the JavaScript framework, they updated a lot of tools. They already introduced some capability of how to brand and transform the model pages, because they are introduced basically this week, the communication sites, and I think 2 months ago already, in the community calls, you had the idea of what's going to happen, because they showed the tools how to brand something that isn't there already. So you can think of, okay, 2-3 months ahead already with this tooling. And that's the next big advantage if you stay up to date, or if you need to stay up to date. Basically, they're doing a community call every month with about 100 to 120 people in the call. And this is also recorded and later on put on YouTube. And not only have they community call, they have 2 bi-weekly sessions, one focusing on PMP core, that's everything in the provisioning part, and PowerShell, that's called this special interest group meetings. And in the other week, they have a single slot, about an hour from the team running SharePoint Framework and JavaScript development. And then is also every week a smaller webcast introducing new ideas, introducing new features, new models. So basically you have every week a different session, and in my team there is always one guy responsible for viewing this, viewing this, and doing this, because normally it takes an hour. The session ends at 40-45 minutes, and then you have a 15 minutes time to ask questions directly to the SharePoint engineering team. And the answers there are pure gold that you get there, because they're really, really, really open. They say, okay, I can tell you this, and this I can't tell you, but the answers are really, really good, and you can actually challenge them with your day-to-day tasks, and they really care and try to give you the right answers. That was basically the slide deck. Now we will start into getting the demo mode, and I want to show you the different opportunities you have with the tooling. at first some understanding about what the different components in the PMP are. We will start with a demo on PowerShell commands, what you can do with the PMP PowerShell, and then we will focus on the PMP size core, but you have also already our own repo about development of SPFx webparts. You have an own repo about JavaScript development, and basically this PMP summary repository are, I don't know, hundreds of samples and parts that form scenarios where you can really we'll have a look later. You can really have your own needs challenged with what the team did in terms of architecture, and you can see how they solve different problems. The numbers are also impressive, how many stars on GitHub and how many forks. So 2,300 people working on this on their own machine and then pushing it back to the repository, so through open source community. Okay, let's dive into the first demo. Before we start, is basically I have branded a very simple Office 365 page, just to give you some branding, some yellow and the black over there. And then I have, I'll refresh it now, so you see that it's live. And then I have another site, basically, like it is out of the box, the typical SharePoint blue, nothing special, just two team sites from the template, and this is the first basic theme, and I just added the Spanish flag at the site level. What we do now is that we take this theming and apply it on this site, just with the PowerShell. And we start there. I'm here in my Madrid folder. So it currently only holds this PowerShell commands I prepared. And if I start here, I need to connect with a special, already you see with the PMP online, it's not this normal SharePoint PowerShell command, it's already PMP with this command to connect to this web. Ask me about my username. Get the PMP provisioning template. I will run the command and will introduce you to this template in a minute. And what this now does is it goes to the site and grabs all the artifacts from the site and creates an XML document in the folder. Wait until it's finished. Navigation state, and then you see here exported the flag. So if I open this, it's our site logo, and here I have an XML schema of the whole page with all the different elements. So I can start with the provisioning template. It gave the template ID, which version it is, the basic site template, and then you have all the different artifacts the engine saw on my page. The important part is here, you have here this base template, and the engine takes the schema XML from the site and looks back which server version, if you're on premises or in the cloud, you are running at the moment, and just takes the different that you made on the, in terms of customization from the base site template. It doesn't extract all the XML because it would be really huge. And they have internally in the PMP, they have the different schema XML for every version of SharePoint, online and on-premises. And they just do a diff of all the different entries, and they only store what you added. And the important part is they only store structure. So you can see now site assets, it had here site logo extracted, the setting that I set for the flag, pages. Here is the web part on the start screen and the starting page with all the properties from the web part and all the structure, the whole site, fields, everything in there. And then I can go and say, okay, I connect to my demo page because I have to switch the context, because currently I'm connected to this branded sub page. I will connect to my second demo site. As I'm in the same folder with this tooling, I just can hit apply. And now it takes this manifest file and provides it to the second page. And if everything goes well, you should have a branded page here soon. So it's branded, but it's not the logo already. Yeah, so here it is. So with two commands, basically getting all the artifacts and providing to a different site. You have to keep in mind it only takes the structure. It doesn't take the content. So it really only takes the structure. And you also see, as the demo web already contained these default points of navigation, this is also an important fact, it just adds things. It doesn't delete what's already existing, so you end up having, if you have the same navigation again, you end up having same navigation twice, because it was already there, and the engine just adds new elements. It doesn't check if there is a point pointing to documents, so it's just adding the thing. So the better use case would be to start really with a blank page and add the artifacts, so you don't have this double navigations, but just for the demo, it's okay. You also cannot only use this for copying branding elements. Basically, you can get out everything. Content types, field types, all those things, and apply it to new sites. So we use it not only for branding elements, but for example, if you think of SharePoint on-premises and the concept of content types, how tightly integrated they are with the farms and the VSB solutions, if you need to update them, or if you can make it like this, where you extract XML documentation and provide it to a different site collection, and you can change basically very easily in the template names or GUIs to from development to test to staging, you're getting up to speed much, much faster. So this was just one command. We'll have a short look on what is already for all the other commands. So if you go to this page in the GitHub repository, you have here all the different commands. If you want to install the PowerShell and you have the right version of Windows PowerShell installed, just can say, where is it? Install module SharePoint PowerShell online. And that's the important part. You have three different versions of this PowerShell tooling targeting SharePoint online, SharePoint 16 on premises, and SharePoint 2013 on premises, because they are different in certain types. If you want to run them in a parallel environment, it's also possible, but you have to edit your path variable to the different locations, but you can also run all these different toolings on one machine. You have to know your tools, but normally this works really fine. Also, they update all the commands once in a month, and then you only need to update module, SharePoint PowerShell, and then you get all the new commands. And also, and this is not only the use case that you can use these PowerShell commands in your projects, you can also see in the GitHub repository, let's have a look, provisioning, get provisioning template. You can look into the C# file how this command is implemented. So you can have a deep understanding of what is going on behind the scenes. And this is not only important in terms of if something breaks, you can have a look and you can make your own build. This is the one case. But it's also very interesting in terms of if you need to address same functionality in your project, you have here reference implementation, you can look at. And this is really, really one of the major cases we do on a daily basis, basically, because everything we need to do for our customers was already done somewhere out there. And the chances are good that someone in PMP team already had a solution for this problem or a very similar problem. And you can take this as provided and guaranteed from the SharePoint engineering team as a guidance, and this is the only and the right way to do it, because these guys implementing those solutions already know what's coming up. So you have the best options in terms of upgrades and the next features that are coming. So I have a list here. Okay, so this is just one of the big use cases is the PowerShell project with all the commands, and here I think is the documentation. We have, this is the list of all the PowerShell commands available right now. So a lot of different options. Basically every SharePoint basic PowerShell command with an advanced or a more field approved version, so to speak, and introducing this whole new scenario of declarative XML files representing SharePoint sites and SharePoint artifacts. So this is one of the first things. I also have all the screenshots in the slides published, so you can start with the next demo. The next thing I want to show you is how you can use artifacts from the PMP guide to build a SharePoint WikiBot. I've done a blog article about this, and then I'll show you a short architecture. Let's think of a normal user somewhere in your organization, in your team, that uses a SharePoint Wiki page for knowledge management. So basic SharePoint Wiki with some headings and some text. And the idea is that we use, let's say, the headings, so because it's a very, very simple use case, the headings represent our questions. And the normal text is the answer to this question. Behind this SharePoint Online Wiki is an Azure function as a webhook. So every time the SharePoint Wiki gets modified, gets a change, it triggers an Azure function. This Azure function needs to respond back to SharePoint in 5 seconds, so we cannot start synchronous actions here because it would take too long. Basically what it does is it takes the current timestamp of the changes API and stores it in a storage queue in Azure. And with the storage queue, we kick off a timer job. The timer job takes all the plumbing and goes back to the wiki page, looks what's different, extracts all the content, and creates entries to a knowledge base, the Q&A maker. It's an example done by the bot framework. And this guy here provides our interface to the Azure Bot Service, and that connects it to, for example, Microsoft Teams or Skype in the consumer edition. So what you end up doing or what you end up building is you have a wiki page here, you add an headline and the text as a question, and as I use all the free services, it will take so 5 to 10 minutes. Later, you can ask Teams or Skype your questions and you get the result back. The PMP provided here all the architecture in the middle, because there is a sample solution in the PMP covering the thing with the changes API, with the storage queue, with the timer job. You don't have to implement bit by bit by yourself. And basically, I'm not a a developer day-to-day basis. I'm the team lead of the development team. I used to be a developer, and it took me about 2 days, one weekend basically, to wire up all these things with my basic development logic and development knowledge to have it possible to run all this way. The important part in this thing is, if you use it for a demo, you can basically use a very, very simple form of authentication. But if you use it really in a real customer scenario, you would need to think really, really good about authorization, authentication, using Azure AD as an app, that you have this Azure function authenticated right, that you have the timer job with the right permissions here. In my example, I just have a username and a password here, so you should not take my GitHub code and use it in production. But with a little more time added, you can change this easily to a really, really proof solution. So what does it look like? Let me check if I have it open here. Yes. Here is our example wiki page. And you see here I have played with some headlines here. And I also added this morning a question about how is Shepherd Saturday in Madrid. And what I'm able to do now is, hopefully, the demo you see when I checked it last today, you get this back. So I'm not, I used Bing Translator, hopefully it translated it somewhere right in the Spanish language. But you can see here, I think I have something like this here, test 4 gives something back overall. Okay. If you check this, you have the different headings here. And what you also see is it just takes the Q&A maker page. So what is behind here is this little fellow. This is from the Microsoft Bob framework, already provided template targeting question answers maker. And you have your question and you have your answers here. And what the solution is doing, it just adds here questions and answers. And how do we get them? As I said, every question is a heading. The answer is the next HTML element, the div element, next to this heading. So we have the code here. For example, this is the web job. It's very short because I created different classes, but it takes the wiki page and says, okay, processes the changes that are in this wiki page, and then we open the web from the call we got from the Azure function, go through the change items, and add the changes to the knowledge base manager, and that's the endpoint here from our Q&A maker. This Q&A maker trains the artificial intelligence behind. It's very, very simple. So you have just the text mining with the questions and the answers. And then you have in the Bob framework connected the different channels for Cortana, Teams, Skype, Skype for Business, or WebChat, or whatever, connected to this Q&A maker Bob framework service. And so you have the different types of artifacts in one right direction to make this possible. If you check out, the Q&A maker even has a service that you can target to a public web page. If you have your company, for example, has an FAQ page publicly on the web, this thing has a parser integrated. You can point your URL and you'll integrate or export all the question answers from your HTML, import it in here, and click on train, and you have a bot up and running for your customers. It's in preview. You are basically limited to a data amount of, I think, 20 megs in sum. I don't know how and when they will go public with this Q&A maker. But if you had a close look on Build Conference and all the announcements they make, artificial intelligence and bots are really, really huge coming. And all the things with FAQs basically depend on a service like this, where you take your data, store it in the artificial intelligence services, and then connect it. You can also test and train it there. You see it because if you have a close look, there's one mistake already I saw. I asked about 4, and I got back the answer basically of 5. It's because I'm always was asking 4, 4, 4, 4, and sometimes I think I made a mistake by training the bot. And with this training interface, you can train the bot to give the right answer. So you can specifically provide questions, and then you can say, okay, this is the wrong answer, better give this back to the user. So you can also train it. And we all know if you train an artificial intelligence with your own knowledge, it's getting better and better and better, and gives back the better answers to the customers. So again, all the services here in between, the Azure function connected to a storage queue in Azure, the timer job, using of the get changes API in SharePoint Online and SharePoint on-premises, all there in the PNP. So I only had to do the wiring on this side and connect it to the Azure bot service, and then you're up and running. Of course, we could also create our own bot by writing, not by using the Q&A maker and the fixed service, but I hadn't time to write really an own bot. But it's also possible to create another level here and add external data, for example, by giving better answers. Okay. The next and the biggest demo is about one of our tools. It's called Teambox. And I had the chance, I think in February this year, to do a webcast with Vesa from the BIMP team about how we use this for our provisioning engine. And what we built basically in our team was an asynchronous site creation architecture. There you have a SharePoint service running somewhere and an own dashboard that stores the data your users provide about projects, about quick teams, about workgroups, basically about your different types of collaboration. Stores the data in a SharePoint list. Then the SharePoint list gets triggered by a web shop. And for example, one possible way is using client-side object model, creating a normal SharePoint online site collection. But we can also create a normal site collection on premises. So we took this web shop and created it in a way that we can also create on premises, but also cloud features. So we can create groups, teams, and also on premises. And basically, with this approach, we have a true hybrid architecture, because depending on the customer's needs, we can say by configuration, we only create spaces in SharePoint Online, or we create something only targeting premises. And also, as we only listen with the web shop to SharePoint list elements, you can add these elements via different services, via SAP, for example, CRM. You just need to enter basic SharePoint list elements, and then you can create different collaboration spaces. And that's what we have a look like now. So, what does this look like? everything you see here is our development environment, because back in Austria, two guys are updating our real servers because of the latest developments in terms of ransomware. So I can't show you our live system, and only our dev system. But basically what we're talking about is a dashboard that takes data, for example, that describe different projects. You can have title, description, all the things you need from projects. And what it does is it stores the data you enter here in different SharePoint lists. For example, let's focus on India as a project. You will see description, title, metadata, Mittelerde is the Middle Earth from Herr der Ringe, Pink. So it's a typical developer wording here. If I go to India, you see the entry that is stored in the list is much, much larger than only the form outside. And basically, this dashboard is one component. Another one is the list. And then we have a lot of tools running in Azure, taking care of creating this stuff. But not only in Azure, because if you pay attention, we are here on an Azure website. So we are not really inside of SharePoint. We are running in our own Azure website, because we also could take this site on premises, running locally in an IIS server, providing the same functionality only for on-premises environment. So we really can say the business makes the decision of going to cloud or on-premises. We don't care, we can do both. Basically also, we can use the tooling from on-premises to create something in the cloud, and we can also host it in Azure and create a collection on your premises server. We don't care, it's it's a really a comfortable position, because really the business has to decide if he or she wants to go to the cloud or on-premises, and not the technical guy leads this discussion. But what we have here is, this is our solution for this project. We have here a large Visual Studio solution with the different parts, with the services, with the web application. And then we have here our workers. And if we have a look at our worker for lines, for example, we have here different methods for creating a team box. And then we should see somewhere here. See here a wording that should look familiar to what we see in the PowerShell, or we saw in the PowerShell, because basically we use the same approach that the SharePoint PNP PowerShell does. We have templates for every. I think I started something now. It was wrong. Never mind. We use the same approach like the PowerShell. We have templates configured behind each of the projects, and the solution. The solution takes the URL of this XML file, it takes the template site definition, creates the XML file, and applies it to the new site. So what we end up doing is that we can really, really configure it how the customer needs. We have an additional configuration list here. And you can see for the project, it has here URLs for the templates, and the engine goes to this setting and takes a SharePoint PNP provisioning model of this page and provides. Is a click? Okay. Sorry. I'm just clicking from the PowerPoint presentation still, but this is fine. Starts running, takes this PNP XML file and provides it to the new site collection. So you can configure just with this list. You can change look and feel for new projects. You can change the template behind and just use this what the PNP provides. And the big advantage, if you don't have to code all the engine by yourself, is if something is new in the cloud, the PMP engine will already address it. So we are looking forward to all the things coming in terms of provisioning and in terms of customization from the modern team sites. You see this is already on the modern UI. It's not so easy to support back 2 or 3 months, but the engine will have a big major release in June, supporting all the architects with the new capabilities of what was before JS Link and custom actions. They introduced it on Tuesday, I think, in the SharePoint Virtual Summit, how they will like to, basically like us doing the customizations in a proper way. And the engine will support it already next month. So what we use in our project behind the scenes gets updated, and we can make use of the new functionality without changing all our code. So basically, we really use, all the different stuff we earlier saw in the PowerShell with the providers in XML provisioning model. All those classes are in the code, and if they get updated, we also can update our solution and don't need to take everything in hand and build it by ourselves. I know from some customers, especially in Germany, that they don't trust Microsoft in providing these solutions, and some customers say, okay, I don't want to have PMP code in my product. But to be totally honest, if it's a customer from our side, we have about 12 guys sitting in Graz coding for SharePoint like for 10 years now. We have some really good knowledge, but this code comes from the SharePoint product team. I think they can do it better than ourselves. So customers that are complaining to us and saying, oh no, I don't trust this open source code, but I trust you, I think, oof, that's a hard conversation, because I don't think we can make it better like the guys sitting in Redmond. So I really, really trust those guys. And yes, it's software. It has bugs, like our software has bugs, like every software out has bugs. But at least it's open. You can also change, and we already did. We already had some months of a special edition, what would we call it, our own version of something, because we had to implement a special functionality for one customer. So we took the PMP, built it on our own, changed this one flag, and used it in our system, and changed it back 2 months later when we open sourced it again. So you have basically the full control, and it's not just a third party solution from some guys you never see again. They are committed to provide all the updates, all the things coming on the roadmap, and we really heavily invest in using it. Okay. So, back to our dashboard. You can see here I can create different types of projects, workgroups, and quick teams, and based on the configuration, I can say for one customer a workgroup is in SharePoint Online Site Collection, a quick team maybe a SharePoint Office 365 group, and a project is something that needs to be run on premises, so I create the site collection on premises. I can use Azure Active Directory groups in terms of permissions. So for example, I can change here the members. And if you're familiar with the new Office UI or the latest Office 365 UI in terms of creating site collections, we try to do our best to look similar to them. And then we have here the different users you can add to. This is a group already. You have this panel functionality, and this uses SharePoint PMP JavaScript components. Getting back to managed metadata, getting back to users. So if I search for a user, I trigger web service, and it will look in the Azure Active Directory, it will look in the Microsoft Graph. If we know this user, okay, we can add him here. So on every corner, on every end of the solution, we always look for what has the PMP already there, and how can we connect it to make it a better experience for our users. That's the basic idea. This slide deck is the last one. You have here all the information, all the Twitter handle, the Yammer group, the community link, the Skype for Business invites, so you can go there and you get the invite for next week or in two weeks' time. You have all the GitHub repositories, the documents, everything out there starts basically with this slide. And the partner pack is something special because it really is an end-to-end solution in terms of internet, and it's basically a real basic implementation of what you saw today in terms of provisioning, but also up and running, starting by an installer, Paolo built a real next installer, providing all the tooling in Azure, providing all the tooling in SharePoint, so we can look there and see, okay, how to create an Azure website by code, how to configure it by code. It's everything in here. Okay, I think time is really close. Four minutes.
Question.
Any questions? Okay.
It's very good.
Okay. Thank you. In about 2 or 3 minutes, you will find a link on Twitter with the slide deck already. It's all the things in the backend worked out nicely. Mm-hmm.
De salir, cerrar la puerta y decir, coño, gracias.